Well, the secret to contentment is humility. Apparently, that's the theme of our time together this afternoon. Humility has been a big theme of that popular cartoon series that's been on the TV recently. You know the one, the American election campaign. I think I am actually humble, declared Donald Trump a few months ago. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand. Well, look, it's easy to single out Donald Trump. It's very easy to single out Donald Trump, actually. But he's not alone. It seems that nowadays everybody wants to have a slice of humble pie. When Leonardo DiCaprio finally won his Best Actor award at the Oscars this year, he said that he was humbled by the experience. Bill Gates, who was then the richest man in the world, said that he was humbled when he was awarded an honorary knighthood. Even Barack Obama, the leader of the free world, said that he was humbled when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. I think following our passage here in Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul might argue that these people simply don't understand the meaning of the words. Really, this section of Philippians begins back in chapter 1 and verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you were here last week, you'll have heard Sam Gibb very helpfully explain that what that might look like for us as Christians. You and me, living here in contemporary London, trying to put that into practice. We're to be active in our places of work, in our homes, in civic life, witnessing to the truth of the gospel through the way that we live. But we also communicate in words our convictions about Christ and Him crucified. It may bring opposition, verse 28, but we won't be afraid about that, because we will be united together in the Spirit. We'll be striving together for the gospel. For, verse 29, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. Our question today is how? How is it possible? How do we suffer for Christ? Or more generally, what does it look like in practice to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? And Paul's answer, of course, is humility. It is in the words of verse 3 of our chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. It's a radical selflessness. It's a mindset that values my friend, my neighbor, my colleague as more important than myself. Contentment of this kind of humility, it doesn't come naturally to us. So Paul gives us the example of Jesus himself as a model for us to follow. And it is a model to follow. We've got to get the order right. Jesus doesn't call us to do anything that he hasn't first done himself. We can only follow this way of humility because Jesus went there first. You may have come across a review this week that was published in the New York Times of the new Amazon TV series, Goliath. The critic there, Mike Hale, he slated the opening two episodes of this series that he had on preview. He said that the storyline was revealed slowly and cryptically. He said, there was a bit of writerly delayed gratification that keeps your attention, but isn't particularly rewarding. Then, presumably because the first episode leaves so much unanswered, the next one jumps back in time to fill in the history of the case. And when the second episode ends, the story hasn't even caught up to where it started. Well, readers of the paper were scratching their heads until Tuesday morning rolled around, and they read this in the corrections column. A television review on Friday about the new Amazon series Goliath included an inaccurate discussion of the show's plot structure. The critic mistakenly watched the first two episodes out of order. Well, look, it's a silly story, but it makes an important point, doesn't it? It is vital that we get things in the correct order. So as we hear Paul's exhortation to humility here in this passage, it's vital that we see that we're doing nothing more than following Jesus, who went before us. In your relationships with one another, verse 5, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This here is true humility. God the Son, eternally God, the one who put the stars into space, who formed and fashioned everything that we can see and touch, God the Son did not use his position for his own advantage. He could have ruled as a despot from on high like some pagan god of old, throwing down lightning bolts in fits of rage or picking up attractive women to take to his heavenly harem. Yet he chose not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He could have remained aloof and distant from the brokenness and the evil of this world, but instead he chose to step into it and to take upon himself the very brokenness and evil that would have kept anyone else away. And by doing this on our behalf, Jesus shunned the trappings of power that were his by right. Starving in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil tempted him, saying, "Tell these stones to become bread." But he refused to serve himself. Led to the roof of the temple in Jerusalem, he was invited to throw himself off to initiate an impressive angelic rescue. But he refused to serve himself. Taken to the top of a mountain and shown the splendor of the kingdoms of the world, he was offered them all without having to endure the pain and the suffering of the cross, if only he would bow down and worship the devil. But he refused to serve himself. And thank God that he said no. He could have had it all, everything, the whole world for his own advantage. But for our sake, he humbled himself. And he humbled himself even to death, the humiliation of the death of a criminal on a Roman cross. So here's the truly extraordinary thing about Jesus Christ dying on a cross in our place. It is that he humbled himself in order to do it. That the Lord Jesus was not bashful about his role in redeeming humanity from slavery to sin. He was not embarrassed to be sent on a mission like this from his Father in heaven. He was not humbled by these events as if outside forces somehow made him feel temporarily small or inadequate. He was not humbled by the cross. He humbled himself to die upon it. And these words here from the Apostle Paul to the fledgling church in Philippi are important for us to hear today. They're a radical corrective to the pride that comes so naturally to so many of us. I don't know, perhaps I'm speaking for myself, but I suspect I'm not alone in my instinct for pride over humility, the kind of pride that gives me what I want rather than giving others what they need. Sometimes it's very obvious. So when I meet somebody new, within moments I can find myself acting like both their recruitment consultant and their estate agent at the same time. I ask, what do you do for a living? And immediately I'm thinking of their earning potential and their future job prospects. Or, where do you live? And immediately I'm thinking of the postcodes, the neighborhood. I'm wondering if they've got a decent garden so they can throw a good barbecue. Will they have me over for a dinner party? I don't know what it is. What I'm thinking is, what can this person do for me? How can they help or serve me? But it's often subtler even than that. Before I came to work here at the church, I was talking with a colleague of mine about my Christian faith. And she asked me in a very sweet way, she said, do you have to go to church? And I answered like any good Christian would. I said, no, I want to go to church. I find it encouraging to sing songs of praise to God and to pray to him with other people. I find it helpful to hear the Bible being read and taught. I enjoy spending time with brothers and sisters as they help me to follow Jesus. They're not bad reasons to go to church. Perhaps they're some of the reasons why you're here at this lunchtime service today. But I wonder whether the Apostle Paul might have a different slant on things if he was asked that same question by one of his prison guards as he was in jail there writing this letter. I wonder if he might have answered, well, he gathered with his brothers and sisters in church in order to encourage them with his singing and his prayer and his Bible teaching and his fellowship. It's a challenge for all of us, I guess particularly for those of us who stand up at the front and teach, but for all of us in church to remember that we're here to serve one another, not to be served primarily. And that's as true in the workplace as it is in the home, as it is here at church. I'm not there for me, I am there for the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself for you. And so likewise, we are to put to death our desires for ourselves, our self-importance, our self-advancement, our self-regard, and in their place to put others' needs above our own. So that person at work who we just cannot bear to deal with, the person that we look down on and find ourselves speaking badly of, well, Christ died for them. And in humility, we are to value ourselves as less than them. Those groups of people that we think less of for whatever reason, in terms of race or social background or educational attainment or looks or lifestyle choices, Christ died for them. And in humility, we are to value ourselves as less than them. That colleague or neighbor or family member who mocks and sneers when we talk about Jesus, who tells us that we must be mad for trying to live for Christ in a world that doesn't recognize him, it attracts ridicule. But Christ died for that person. In humility, we are to value ourselves as less than them. And we are called to serve them in humility. This is the call of the cross on our lives. And yet the story of the cross continues from humiliation to exaltation, from Calvary to the throne of heaven. Because Jesus humbled himself, therefore, we see in verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the goal and the purpose of God's self-sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. Because of that humble self-giving, he has been raised on high, and he is worthy of our praise and our worship. As we see Christ humble himself only to be raised on high, we are to see that he is the Lord's. He has authority over all things. He has authority over our very lives, for he became a servant in order to ransom our lives from the grave. He has authority over our obedience, for our knees are bowed in submission to his name. And the way that he calls us is by going the way of the cross, having the same mindset as Christ. So as we head on to whatever the afternoon has in store for us, whether that's back at the office or at home or even on the commute, let's not lose sight of Jesus Christ, humbled to death and raised to glory. Understood in the right order, the humility of Christ on the cross is a model for us to follow in our lives. As recipients of his self-sacrifice, he calls us to live lives of self-sacrifice in return. The colleagues that we struggle to bear with, the people who mock and sneer because of our commitment to Christ, the people that we ignore or dismiss because they can't do anything for us. Well, this afternoon, let's commit to valuing others above ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, who valued our benefit above his own. And to help us in that, let me close with a prayer that God will give us such hearts of self-sacrifice that we too might have that mindset of Christ and live in true humility. Let's pray. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Our Father God, may we be those who survey the wondrous cross and respond rightly to it. Take away our pride and give us in its place a true humility, the same mindset as Christ. We thank you and praise you for him, and we long to bow the knee at his name, and we pray in his name to the glory of God the Father. Amen.